Right now, people are hungry for live spectacle wherever they can get it. And they don't get more spectacular than an exhibition that's about to land in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch early next year. It's called Van Gogh Alive, and that's putting it mildly. Multi-channel motion graphics, 40 high-definition projectors with cinema-quality surround sound and, believe it or not, subtle use of perfumes. A mini version of the Van Gogh experience ran recently in Wellington and completely sold out. As I say, people are hungry for something new, but this will be the real deal. To find out more, I'm joined by the head of the Australian company bringing it out, Grande Experiences CEO, Bruce Peterson. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
So what is the state of big shows in Australia at the moment?
Well, it's a tale of differences in different states. So we're Melbourne-based and there's not a lot going on here in Melbourne after a very long, hard lockdown. But we have had Van Gogh Alive on in Sydney for the last 2 months, and it's been smashing it out of the park there because, again, we're one of the very few experiences or entertainment events that are on, and people feeling very safe to come along. But not a lot else is happening around Australia at the moment, but I think it's about to gear up.
Let's look at this show, which I know started rather smaller when you and your kids visited a traditional exhibition in Florence and wasn't greeted with universal approval.
Look, I lived in Italy for a year and taking the young children around to some of the great attractions and museums and galleries there, but really I was getting the tug on the hip pocket after 5 minutes to say, come on, Dad, let's go and get a gelati. When I sort of quizzed them a little bit more about why they weren't interested and what it was that wasn't hitting their hot buttons, really what came out of it was a lack of movement and a lack of music, and therefore they were a little bit disengaged and disinterested. So that sort of sparked me into looking at how we did things in a different way. So we had been a traditional exhibition company with artifacts and interpretive information, etc. But in about 2009, 2010, we moved ourselves into multimedia. And now we have moved ourselves again into multi-sensory. We try and integrate all the human senses to coordinate themselves in the shows and experiences that we put on. And that gives the visitor a more amplified outcome. And that amplified outcome is often an emotional outcome because they get engaged in the experience.
I can hear elderly curmudgeons right now saying, is this at the expense of the actual art? I mean, is this sort of fairground gimmickry?
Yeah, look, fair call. We're definitely not trying to replace original art. It's the opposite. We're trying to get more people engaged in art and culture. But to engage people, you've got to entertain them. And to entertain them, you've actually got to appeal to what they want. So we take a very much a visitor approach to what we do. And the visitors that currently don't really engage in art galleries and museums, etc., are a core audience that come to this experience because they're experiencing art and culture in a different way. But they're going to see detail like they've never seen before in the artwork. And they're going to see an entire collection of like 3,000 images of Vincent van Gogh and how his art relates to the cities that he was painting in, the landscapes, etc., and see them in a way that you wouldn't normally be able to get if you went to an original Van Gogh display and saw 40 paintings, for example, which is quite rare in itself.
You're talking about this essentially being an immersive environment. When somebody goes into you to one of your experiences, Bruce, what would they see?
When they first enter, there is an interpretive information area, if you like, to set the scene so people can understand a little bit more about Vincent, a little bit more about his major pieces of art, etc. Not too much, but enough to give a flavour of an introduction. And then they walk through a light-locked area and walk into an immersive projection-based environment with music and aroma. And it's a coordinated 45-minute production which tells the story of Vincent and his life, in particular over the 10 years of his most prolific years of painting. And we do that through the storytelling, through the art and the music in particular, and selected information quotes that pop up throughout.
I know that you show this show in particular, but a lot of your shows around the world, but sometimes you get a situation where you can't send your team over there. You have to do it by remote control in some ways. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, correct. So when this pandemic hit in March, we have about 12, 13 productions that are around the world in all continents. And they move themselves, if you like. We normally go over and install them, de-install them, and move them to the next destination. We're pretty much booked out for a couple of years in advance. And the travel restrictions that hit Australia meant we couldn't travel, and our production team couldn't travel. So we had to quickly work out how we could do this remotely. So the team spent a couple of months and came up with the ability to remotely instruct and manage, and using local crews and equipment, you know, lead a local team through a 10-day installation period of what is really some very, very high-tech, complicated systems, etc., to put this show on. So we first did it in Taiwan. We then did it in Norway. We then did it in Zurich. Certainly in Taiwan, not all the crew speak English. So you've generally got a head person over there. And if you like, my team are sitting there on computers with the crew overseas, with cameras all around the venue, and us just feeding instructions through to a head crew member there, etc. And even Wellington with Digital Nights, our team couldn't go over and install that. So we had to heavily rely on the local team in Wellington, and they did all the heavy lifting for us on the back of guidance from our crew from Melbourne.
This was a sort of a mini version of the big experience in which art was projected on, a number of people complained about this, on corrugated containers, you know, so why weren't they flat? Some complaints about that.
Well, we actually had a tremendous amount of feedback. In fact, most of it was very much in the positive because of the texture that the corrugated surfaces gave. And we had a lot of technical and creative people really comment back how interesting and different it was. But really, putting on an outdoor event, shipping containers were an interesting factor in themselves, and really the only practical thing. As Wellington people will know, you've got some pretty heavy environmental conditions down there when the wind blows, etc. So shipping containers full of heavy ballast are definitely the best thing for an outdoor on the harbour there.
Absolutely. No, the heavier the better, I think. But this is different. I mean, the reason you did that was because you had to go outside for some of these events now, didn't you?
Well, correct. A lot of places around the world would only consider putting something on for their citizens if it was outdoors and in low numbers. And that's what we were able to do, working with Wellington, New Zealand, and the great team there. We were able to establish a 1,200 square metre outdoor area using the shipping containers, 52 of them, in fact, which was a mighty effort to bring them in. But it was an outdoor event under the night sky, and people felt safe going out at night with their families, etc., knowing that, you know, there's obviously fresh air pushing through, and right. And they can socially distance, and there's no contact involved. So it's perfectly safe in this sort of pandemic world that we're living in at the moment.
Absolutely. I'm having a look at some of the Grande shows, and the stats are pretty amazing. It says here, and it's probably changed since then, but 120 exhibitions in 86 cities, 6 continents, 22 languages. I mean, you guys are pretty light on your feet for such a spectacular show.
Yes, look, I think it's just taken the approach of taking art and culture to the people. So we've exhibited in everywhere from, you know, 6 cities through Russia, Kazakhstan, throughout China, all through Latin America, Central America now. And we have quite a number of experiences and exhibitions that travel around. And look, to be honest, it's a bit of a mind boggle at times in the logistics of it all. But it's great to be able to take an experience out into, for example, a Cali or Medellin in Colombia, or a Caracas in Venezuela, where people just can't travel to Europe to get that fine art experience. And it just brings a lot of joy and a lot of education into the community there that really drives us.
I know that one of the driving forces behind your shows, apart from being that movable, I mean, it's light on your feet, is putting it mildly. This is a projection-based environment, which means that you're not taking big, bulky stuff with you.
Well, it's a couple of big shipping containers that move around. There's a lot of truss and fabric screens and the like that go through, and with the projectors, and probably 10 kilometres of cabling and the like. So it's a big setup once you're there. I mean, I think we would average probably 70 people on site in an installation to put it on. We take about a week to install it, but that's electricians and AV specialists and data cablers and networkers and the like. So it's still a big production, but we've got it down pat. It can be more difficult in certain areas of the world where they don't have the skill-based crew that we'd like, but we always get it done.
It all sounds like a rock band experience. I mean, it's like Pink Floyd going on the road, isn't it?
Well, it is a touch of that. It's the similar sort of mentality, I suppose, in that get in quickly, set everything up. There's an awful lot of pre-planning. You know, there's generally 3 to 6 months of very detailed millimeter perfect planning that goes on beforehand. So when on site, you can just execute. But then we've always got to remember that the installation is just one thing. You've then got the creative element, which is every time we put this on, the creative part of the show has to be redone because every venue is different. We very, very rarely get the same venue or same setup twice. So there's a creative side of things that has to adapt itself as well every time.
What are some of the other shows in your portfolio, Bruce? I know that, I mean, this is clearly the big one and the first one, but you've got other shows as well, don't you?
Yeah, look, I'd say we're the world's sort of leading experts on Leonardo da Vinci and exhibitions there in a comprehensive way, covering the full gamut of his life and all his genres of science and art and geology and, you know, right through to costume making, etc. So we have about 5 Leonardo da Vinci experiences. We have a big shark exhibition, Planet Shark. So as Australians, we thought that onus of responsibility should fall to us.
You won't go wrong with a shark show, I don't think.
Create the world's only shark experience. But then we've also got, you know, Monet and Friends. We've got an Alice in Wonderland experience. We've had 101 inventions that changed the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there. So we're really a content creation company, a storytelling company, and the projection and the multi-sensory environment is just the moment in time way that we display these stories to engage people. And in 10 years' time, I'm sure it'll be different.
I want to see all of these shows, I have to say. The Leonardo one sounds fantastic, you know, but they all sound fantastic. I want to see the Alice in Wonderland one. I think that sounds really good too. Final question, I guess, Bruce, is this is going back and bringing in our old friend, the curmudgeon. All these events are sort of telling a story. My question is, does art actually have to have a story? Can't you just sort of stand in front of it and enjoy it?
Oh, absolutely. And we're not taking away from that. We're trying to just get more people engaged in art and culture to get to the point where they could go to the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam and stand in front of the original painting and have a better appreciation of it. That's really the essence of what we're doing. And to do that through the storytelling. But look, someone like Vincent has a great story to tell, and there's lessons there for kids and adults, you know, alike. I mean, he, whilst he had his troubles, he pursued his passion, and maybe that led to his early death as well and to his mental illness. But look, he didn't sell one piece of art in his lifetime. You know, he transacted one with Gauguin, but he has left a legacy like very few artists have left through a true conviction to his art. But it is a sad but wonderful story at the same time. And I think people deserve to know that story and feel that story without it detracting from the original art when they do get to see it, but enhance it when they do get to see it.
That's Bruce Peterson, CEO of the Australian company Grande Experiences. Sounds absolutely fabulous. I'd love to see the Leonardo da Vinci one and also the Alice in Wonderland one, I think. Van Gogh Alive opens at Wellington's Spark Arena from January the 11th before travelling to Christchurch in February and finally to the Spark Arena in Auckland from April the 14th.